We appreciate every one of you as ministers that have come out and been hungry enough to come tonight, because I know you, most of you probably have services in the morning. You've got to get back to your church and ministry and preach and teach. So you're here tonight to receive. Before you do that, and I know this will be a time you're normally preparing, but hey, this is time in the Word. So you can take some of the things you hear and just pass it on. I think it's necessary that we not keep what God gives us. We pass it on.
That's right.
I sometimes preach other people's sermons right in front of them and not even give them credit. Amen. Hallelujah. So just go ahead and take these sermons, preach them if you want to.
That's right.
You don't have to give me credit. I got my credit from heaven. Praise the Lord. And I probably took it from somebody else anyway.
Yeah, come on.
You know, Pastor Ike steals all my stuff. He preaches my sermons.
That's right.
Amen. He doesn't give me credit. At least I haven't heard him doing it too much. You can laugh tonight. It's all right. We're just having fun. And Ashti ele bonge mensa pale ishukula mena mensa ukupaya ingala buchi mendo kofepala oh my God, oh mama makite, mama makite, mama makite, mama makite. And so you're one coming up, and so you're one coming up, and so you're one coming up to teach and preach and take these truths. As Paul said to Timothy, the things you received of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And you've been sitting and you've been receiving and you've been taking in. And there's much on the inside of you, much light, much revelation, much illumination of who you are and who they are and who everyone in Christ is, a new man. And so it's time for you to begin to prepare for that which is ahead. For you must run and take the message to many, many people. And you must walk in the light of it yourself and be a demonstration and be an illustration and be an example. And you will bring many into the light, for you will be faithful. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Stand up, Brother Abel Bay. Stand up. Praise the Lord. Father, I lay my hands on him. I lay my hands on him in impartations for that which he must do. In Jesus' name, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for, sermons, utterances. Things beginning to stir. Oh, I gotta tell somebody. And yeah, no sequoia, mande breve, ishikula mande, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Father. So be faithful, obey the Spirit, when the anointing is upon you to minister. You'll stand in that place and you'll run that race and you'll hear it well done. I see that. Mosh. Akaya. Yeah, first season. Yes, first season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will show you the Amashika. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, just obey the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Did you bring your Bible tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hold it up real high. Hold it up real high. Just wave it and say, I'm going to get something out of the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
him. I want you to go over with me, if you brought your Bible this evening, to the book of, the best place to start here would be to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. In this conference, we've been focusing in on some things regarding ministry and money. And God put something in my heart this afternoon about this. And I believe God wants me to share it with you, so will you receive it?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to warn you, my picture is on the wall in the post office in heaven. The devil's scared tonight, but you might get a hold of what I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
But you're going to get it.
That's right.
You're going to get what God has for you tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Have you found the verse? Have you found 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 9? Right, it says here, 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. It says, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. I changed that in one set. Those didn't change in the other set.
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Sorry about that.
2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." Now, many people read that, and they say, "might be," and they think, well, that's so it can be. But we don't do that with 2 Corinthians 5. You remember it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5 about righteousness. And it says, therefore, in verse number 21, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ." Might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. When we read that "might be," we don't think in the future sometimes. He became sin so that whenever we receive him, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ, and that's what we are now.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says we are now.
Right.
That we might be made the righteousness of God. We're made means recreated.
That's right.
Made means the new birth.
Yes.
Amen. We are his workmanship. He made us.
Amen.
And he made us in the new birth.
That's right.
So when we read "might be" there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We take that as right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, we need to do that also back here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He was made, it talks about he was made poor, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
And so what we read there then is that he already did that. He already became poor.
That's right.
Somebody said, when did he become poor? When he walked the earth. Well, first of all, people say he became poor spiritually, but that's not true. Spiritually poor people don't cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick,
that's right,
and do what he did.
No, sir. Amen.
Walk on water. You think spiritually poor people walk on water?
Yes. Never.
No, he wasn't poor spiritually.
Right.
He the whole context of this chapter is finances. You read the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter, it's all about finances. So he said he became poor. When did he become poor? When he walked the earth financially, when he walked the earth? Well, he had a full supply when he walked the earth.
That's right.
I mean, the Bible tells us about his supply.
Yes.
People say, well, he had no place to lay his head, you know. He didn't have a house. Well, the Bible actually said one time that the disciples of John said, where do you, because they started following John, started following Jesus. They said, where do you live? And he said, come and see.
Yeah.
And they went to his house. He had a house.
Yeah.
Most of the devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think Jesus was poor. Jesus wasn't poor.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus was not poor. Whenever they crucified him, he had a garment on so valuable that they didn't want to tear it apart. They just wanted to get him for it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's valuable quote.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And we could go on and on. But the Bible says that Jesus had a treasure named Judas, and Judas was stealing out of the treasure. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
And notice the disciples didn't notice it.
Yes.
The other disciples didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Well, how many of you know if you only had 2 shekels in there and Judas stole one of them, you'd notice it?
No,
well,
no. Amen. That's right.
Jesus knew it.
Yeah.
But the other disciples didn't notice it.
Right.
So he must have had a lot in there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I can go on and prove many things. But anyway, Jesus wasn't poor financially when he walked this earth. He wasn't poor financially. Somebody says, well, I believe he was. Well, all you got to do is ask Jesus. I asked him and he spoke to me and told me. What, you mean in prayer? He has a vision? No, he spoke to me in his word. I asked him, I said, were you poor? He said, well, I said, the poor you have with you always, but me you have not always.
Come on.
He said, I was saying right there, I'm not poor.
Come on.
I said, I got it.
Amen.
I don't know. If you want to know if somebody's poor, just ask the person you want to know about.
That's right.
And so let's ask Jesus. Jesus, are you poor? Well, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but me, you don't have. In other words, I'm not poor.
Amen.
We don't have to ask Paul. We don't have to ask Peter. We don't have to ask James. What do you think? Do you think Jesus had anything? Just ask Jesus.
Jesus.
He told us right there.
That's right. Sure.
But anyway, so he wasn't poor financially when he walked this earth. He had a full supply. The Bible said, if you read Luke 8, first, I don't remember verses there, I don't remember which some verses, but Jesus had some people following him around, giving to him regularly every time, their substance. And the Bible said they were rich. One of them was in government. A couple of them were very rich. One of them had businesses. Hallelujah. And they were ministering on the end of the river. Anyway, that's besides the point. But what does it mean that he became poor? Here it is, verse 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. What does it mean he became poor? It means on the cross. On the cross. No wonder the Bible said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. When Jesus hung on the tree, which is the cross, he became poor. He took our curse.
Yes. Amen.
That's what that's saying in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. That's clear. Put it real clear. See that real quick. So Jesus took our curse on the cross. He not only took sin. Thank God he took sin. I mean, if you don't get anything, get that.
Amen.
But see, you don't have to stop at just one thing. You can have it all.
Yes, right. Amen.
Because Jesus provided it all.
Yes, sir.
So he became poor. He took poverty on the cross.
Yes.
Amen. Now, when it says here, he became, that we might be rich. That he, for our sakes, he became poor. Notice he did it for our sakes. He wasn't doing it for anything. He wasn't doing it for any other reason. He's doing it for us. Why? Because we were poor.
Yep. Come on.
He was redeeming us.
Yes.
That we, through his poverty, in other words, through him taking that for us,
right.
Him becoming what we were,
right.
So we could be what?
Rich.
Rich. Rich. That word's in the Bible, and that's your picture right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That verse authorizes you and I to believe we are rich now.
Yes.
Now. I'm getting it.
That's right.
White boys are slow, but we get it. We get it. We're rich right now. Praise the Lord. We're rich.
That's
right. We're rich right now.
That's right.
Might be doesn't mean in the future. Might be means right now. Just like might over there, 2 Corinthians 5:21 means right now.
Might
be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this verse, God's authorized us in this verse to believe we're rich and to think rich thoughts and live rich now. Not because we have bank accounts full of anything. Not because we have houses or lands or cars. But because of redemption. See, we've got to learn to identify ourselves in the light of who God says we are, independent of what we see in the natural.
Amen.
The Lord said to me one time in my body, there's a lot of wannabes and gummies. I said, what do you mean, wannabes and gummies? He said, they want to be this, they want to be blessed, they want to be free, they want to be right, they want to be healed, they want to be prosperous, and we're going to be one day. He said, all the promises of God are in him. Yes. And amen. Amen means so be it. We don't have as many promises as we have beings. We do have some promises. But actually, we have beings. We're not trying to get right with God. We are right with God. We be right with God.
Amen. That's it.
Hallelujah. Praise God. because of the blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And we have the power to attract that.
Yes.
To get it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, sometimes people, they hear the prosperity teachings that people do, and they think, I just want to stay holy, and I don't want to get in and involve this whole world. Well, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and it's not the devil. It's not unholy. It takes on the nature of the person who has it.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And people say, when it comes to, not having anything or their own thinking, they think poor makes them holy. No, poor doesn't make you holy. Poor makes you mad.
That's right.
It's like, I'm so tired of this.
Come on.
It's bondage.
It is bondage.
I said it's bondage.
Bondage.
And Christ has come to redeem us from bondage.
Amen.
Amen. Now, lying spirits today, I'm going to shut the corner. I'm going to give it. You're not from my eye, but you don't know what that means. That just means get down and get it done. Get it done. There are lying spirits in the earth today that tell people they are a gender that they are not. You know what I mean? You're a man in a woman's body or something like that. That's a lying spirit. I said it's a lying spirit. Well, lying spirits do that, but lying spirits, they tell people, church people, that they're not the richness that they were born into in the new birth. That they're not rich. Same lying devils. I said there's a lying spirit that'll tell people, no, you're not. And so we're gonna hit that real hard tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This sermon's really not about money, it's about the gospel that gives you the prosperous mentality.
Yes.
Go over to Luke chapter number 4. In Luke 4, Jesus said, verse number 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to give handouts to the poor. Did I say something wrong?
Yes.
Spirit of the Lord, let me make sure I get it right. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor.
Right.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
This, what I'm going to tell you tonight, is the gospel. It's the good news that you have a supply and you are rich.
Yes.
I'm going to be rich.
Amen.
Well, if I could just get my hand full of money, if I could just this or just that, come on, I'd be rich. No, you already are.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So the gospel is what the reason Jesus came preaching the gospel to the poor is that's the cure for poverty.
Yes.
Not handouts.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us to give to those who are poor. But really, the main way we're going to get them free from their poverty is not handouts.
That's right. Amen.
They'll get a handout again next week.
Right. Exactly.
Because there's something in their life propagating the problem.
Exactly.
That is, they have not received the gospel.
That's right.
Well, they might nod their head and say yes, amen, but they haven't really believed that they are rich.
That's right.
They haven't really believed that they have a supply.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And the gospel is the cure for poverty because it's the cure for a poverty mentality.
Come on.
I said it's the cure for poverty mentality. You've never had any money issues or lack issues.
Oh, yeah, I have.
No. What that has been is a mentality issue and a faith issue. Whether it's me or you,
yes,
I've struggled before. Just kind of hard, oh God, I'm so hard for it. And the Lord dealt with me. This is what he said. This is the way he got me out of poverty. He said to me, prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. He said, it begins when my word finds a home in your heart.
Amen.
In other words, you accept what he said to you about who you are. Accept the gospel of supply.
Yes.
My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I said, isn't that right?
Yes.
That's the word of God. So a prosperous mentality is all about seeing what God has revealed in his word and embracing it as your own in your own thought process.
That's right.
You have to take it, you have to say, that's me. When you read the Bible, you have to say, that's me.
Amen.
That's me.
Amen.
And identify yourself with that.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Embrace it in your own thought process. And when you meditate in the Word, you got to do that too. You see yourself like God sees you.
Yes.
Because God sees you as redeemed. He sees you as blessed. He sees you with a supply. And He sees you having a supply of every need met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so you have to meditate on that and embrace that. Meditate on the word until you see yourself like God sees you. You see yourself rich. Amen. It's only then things will start to be able to come to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to be big enough on the inside to live in this.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. People that, I don't know, in the United States, we say bellyache. That means whine, complain. People that whine and complain because the price of gas went up just a little bit. In the United States, maybe 10 cents. I don't know what it go up here. Maybe how many naira? Go up a little bit. Whine, yeah, they're ripping us off. And you're almost losing your salvation, you know. Anybody ever done that?
Come on.
I've done it before. Almost lose your salvation over, you know, 10 cents of gas. And then we're claiming to believe for abundance. And yet we get upset over 10 cents. I had people in my church. I had a man in my church that got upset at the fancy shoes I was wearing. I was wearing shoes that I had bought for a couple hundred dollars. He got upset at them, so I gave them to him. Shut him up. He wore them once and gave them to somebody else. Amen. Claiming to be $200 shoes, claiming to be believing for abundance, and almost get offended at $200 shoes. Well, don't look at me and I told you. Amen. You got to be bigger on the inside.
Right.
If you're going to lay hold of bigger things, little things can't offend you.
That's right.
And big things can't offend you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People are making excuses for being bound.
That's it.
Rather than take the responsibility to be free. If they'll take the responsibility to be free, they'll stop complaining and whining and acting like a poor man.
Yes. Amen.
They'll say, I'm already blessed.
Amen.
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 A poverty spirit will fight over money.
Yes. Come on now.
It'll argue over money. Yes. Faith in a prosperous mentality.
Yes.
Say, God is my source.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. People with a poverty mentality will say, I'm going to take my money and go. I'm going to leave the church. That's the spirit of poverty, trying to control somebody. With money.
Yes.
Amen. Prosperous people don't, prosperous mentalities don't control anybody.
Amen.
The spirit of poverty is afraid of money.
Yes.
It's afraid of losing it, afraid of having it because it might backslide, fear of giving it.
Amen.
Hello. Fear of lack. Hoarding money is a symptom of fear. We're going to just deal with the prosperous mentality tonight. We're also going to deal with the poverty mentality. And we're going to see if any of us have it. I'm just going to examine myself. How about you examine yourself? I examine myself. Amen. A poverty mentality has a fear of preachers talking about money. Amen. They have a fear of having it. And then some preachers are bound by fear because they don't like. Some people don't like preaching on money because it reveals their unbelief and their stingy poverty mentality.
That's right.
And a preacher gets bound by their unbelief and stingy poverty mentality and says, well, I better not preach on it. They'll get offended.
Right.
And leave the church. Well, so what if they would leave the church?
Amen.
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 But see, no, preaching on money puts the responsibility on them to do something about it, but their spiritual laziness wants to plead being a victim and blame others rather than blame their unbelief. Amen. I'm going to let Tom out of the bag. He told me to let Tom out of the bag. Now, that's an expression in the United States. That means Tom's a fighting cat. You got to let a fighting cat out of the bag. I'm not fighting you. I'm not mad at you. It might seem like it sometimes I'm mad at you. I'm not. I'm just fighting for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 But see, whenever we preach on financial stewardship in the Word of God about being responsible and renew our minds to abundance and so forth, then people get offended because they're lazy and don't want to do the work of renewing their mind. They want to blame somebody else. Well, I'm in this condition because somebody else. Poverty mentality never makes excuses. Amen. Luke 4:18, Jesus didn't give a handout to the poor. He cured the poverty with the gospel. That's why the gospel is the cure for poverty, because it gives us the knowledge of His abundant supply. Amen. When you study the Bible, you'll find that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. That's a supply. The Bible said, Pastor Michael referred to it this morning, the Bible said that He's already provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. From the foundation of the world, He did all the work to lay out everything you'll need from the day you were born, from before you were born, till the eternity. In fact, He's already way ahead of us. He's up in eternity preparing a place for us. Supply Philippians 4:19. Supply is mentioned before the need. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Supply is mentioned before need. You know why? Because He wants us to be more supply-minded than need-minded. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're learning about this, getting free from a poverty mentality and a poverty spirit. You know, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs 4 that out of the abundance of the, Proverbs 4 talks about, first of all, it talks about my son tend to my word, my son hear, and my say, so forth. Then it says, let not depart from thine eyes, keep them in my heart. Thy life there, like those who find the medicine, all their flesh. And then he said, guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes, sir.
Guard your heart, continues with keeper. And he's guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yes,
the reason our lives go some a certain direction sometimes is because it's coming out of our heart.
Yeah.
And Proverbs also says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the reason people are in the condition they're in, whether it's you or me. Or whoever it is.
Yes.
We're in that condition because of something that's gotten in our heart. The gospel cures that.
Yes, sir.
The gospel cures that.
Amen.
It reveals an abundant supply.
Amen.
Laid up from the foundation of the world. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory.
Yes, sir.
His riches in glory. That's what that supply is a lot of riches in glory.
Yeah.
And notice he didn't say that thou canst not touch it till thou diest.
So.
Amen. I can prove you can tap into it right now.
In Philippians,
it talks about it. I don't have time to get into that. But see, the gospel gives us the knowledge of that abundant supply.
Amen.
Even financially.
Yes.
And it renews the mind to it, and it gives us a supply mentality.
Yes.
It fixes a man's wrong thinking.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The reason the gospel is the cure for poverty is because it's the cure for a poverty mentality.
That's right.
The Bible said that we're to renew our minds. Romans 12:2. Renew our minds. I'm more and more convinced, the more I study this myself and examine myself, and then also in my endeavors to help other people, I'm more and more convinced that the root of poverty is first of all, not being redeemed from it. Somebody's not saved, you understand? But second of all, it is wrong thinking.
Wrong thinking.
Somebody said, well, no, the root of it's wrong belief. Yeah, and that comes from wrong thinking. If they weren't thinking wrong, they wouldn't believe.
That's right.
Well, no, the root of it's they're not obedient to tithe. Yeah, that's because of wrong thinking.
That's right.
You know why people don't tithe? They think they're poor.
That's right.
They think they can. Rich people can do it.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. I said rich people can tithe.
That's right.
Rich people, if I'm rich, I can tithe.
That's right.
Because I got it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay in the word and keep your thinking right. We've got to always go back to the fact we're redeemed and we are rich.
Hallelujah.
We're not rich because of which country we live in. We're rich because of redemption.
Amen.
We're rich because of the word of God. We're rich because of the work of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you ever get a rich mentality, a prosperous mentality, a spirit of faith about money, the power of God will back you up and meet you at your point of faith.
Hallelujah.
It'll come on your mentality and come on that spirit of faith and meet you right at your point of faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
because it places a demand upon your faith to reach for more, which places a demand on the supply. There's a supply laying up, but we got to lay hold of that by our faith.
That's right.
And whenever we have a mentality, it's burning on the inside of us, like you were talking about this morning, and it demands action.
Yes,
it just demands.
That's right.
That we reach out for.
Yes.
I refuse to live without any more another day of my life. I refuse that. I refuse to live in poverty. Amen. Actually, we were made rich at the new birth.
That's right.
We already are. Because we were born into a rich family. Amen. Daddy got it.
That's right. Amen.
He's got it. And he said, here, son, it's yours.
That's right.
I was born into a rich family. Anybody else here born into a rich family? Somebody said, well, I'll just wait for my rich uncle to die. He's got a lot of money and he put me in his will. You don't have to wait for your rich uncle to die. Jesus already died and left you in his will. Somebody already died and put you in the will. But see, we don't think that way. We got to learn to think that way. I got a supply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you think wrong about money, it'll stop the supply from flowing to you.
That's right.
I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but actually money moves toward abundance. It attracts it. Amen. I'll talk about that in a minute. But this is a big part of becoming what God said He's already made. There are many things God said He's already made us, and we must use our faith to enter into. Amen. But if we think in light of not having enough, we're not going to be true to our nature. It'll keep the money from coming to us. Money is attracted to a prosperous mentality. Remember Jesus said, give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Men will give into your bosom. Didn't he? Who have that working for? Men give it into their bosom. Those that give. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that right? He's telling us that money comes to those who have generosity and largeness of spirit on the inside of them. Because a man that's being generous sees himself as wealthy.
Amen.
That's right. Nobody that sees himself poor is generous.
Come on.
So Jesus said, give and it'll be given to you. That man that gives, he's got a big heart on the inside. He sees himself wealthy. He sees himself in abundance.
That's
and
right.
He's able to do it.
Yep.
And he said, that man will have that money given to him.
That's right.
What Jesus is saying is that attracts wealth.
Yes, sir.
When you have largeness on the inside of you, you have bigness on the inside of you, it attracts wealth.
Yes, sir.
And you can have bigness on the outside and not have anything in your bank.
That's it. Come on, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 In the business world of Cedar Rapids, the more I prosper, and some people find out about it, the more they want to be around me and the more they want to help me. That's because abundance tracks abundance. But see, you can have that on the inside before you've got anything in your bank.
That's right.
Hallelujah. A man who sees himself as abundantly blessed and generous and wealthy, he's already that way on the inside. And the stingy man, the man who is sparing and stingy and small on the inside, he actually repels money. Men don't give it to his God. Amen. Now, supply is listed in Philippians 4:19. It's listed before the need. God's telling us that He wants us to be more supply-minded than need-minded. And talk supply more than talking need.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we do that, God will open unto us avenues for us to put our hand to something and supply the need. If you don't step out on those opportunities that God's presenting to you, you'll be broke although Jesus made you rich. Amen. He'll bless what you put your hand to, God said. So don't tell your kids, you know, well, we just can't. Always tell them they want something, but we just can't afford it. We just can't afford it. Amen. What you're doing is you're building a lack mentality in your children.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And God will never tell you, I can't afford that. Because He can. Amen. And He'll say, just believe me and I'll give it to you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we need to talk that way and think that way. And that'll open up avenues. Because whenever we think that way, opportunities start coming to that kind of mentality.
That's right.
That mentality, opportunities can be all around when they don't see it.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So then we step out on those opportunities. Amen. Hallelujah. So learn to make withdrawals on your supply. Those who have a prosperous mentality are supply minded. They always think, I have a supply. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. That's the way they think. They don't think, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't buy this, I can't buy that. They think, I have a supply.
Amen.
They might not have it in their pocket,
but
they know where to get it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a lady one time, a minister said, told this story. His mom, he said, his mom was the older generation, of course, and that generation didn't like to tell people where they bought things. You know, she'd go buy a new dress. Somebody say, where'd you get it? She would never tell them where they got it, where she got it. See, because she didn't want people to know whether it was worth a lot of money or wasn't worth anything.
Right.
And so she always said, I just got it at the getting place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, a lot of times in my life, people ask me, where'd you get that? I said, I got it at the getting place.
Right.
Why? Because the getting place is the throne of grace.
That's right.
Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain. Glory! I may not have it in my pocket, but I know where to get it. That's what I mean when I'm talking about supply. I have a supply. I'm not talking about I have a bank account full of money. I'm talking about in God, he meets all my needs. Hallelujah. So when people have a prosperous mentality, they might not have it in the pocket, but they know where to get it, and they know how to make withdrawals on that supply.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they're very supply-minded. Hallelujah. When the money's up, when the money's down, they still have enough.
Yeah.
I said they still have enough. Even when they don't have enough, they turn to the greater one who makes it enough. Jesus didn't have enough to feed the 5,000. He richly looked up to heaven, blessed it, and it multiplied all of a sudden. He looked to the greater one. He looked to the greater one. And all of a sudden, whatever enough became enough. Because he wasn't what I have in my hand minded. He was looking to the Father who has given him a great big supply. Glory is starting to get alive to us now. The source of a prosperous mentality is the Word of God.
Yes.
Not a big bank account.
Amen. That's right.
Ooh, come on now.
Come on.
I said the source of a prosperous mentality is the Word of God. It's the gospel. And when one has a prosperous mentality from the Word, their faith reflect the unchangeness that is in the Word in the midst of circumstances.
Right.
Amen. When you are aware of what God will do for you, even when you don't have enough.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
He'll cause it to come in.
Yes.
Ministry spirits, angels bring it in.
Yes.
The grace that is upon us,
yes,
to make us rich, the power,
yes,
to care about.
Yes.
The favor of God,
yes,
the authority of the believer, yes, over the enemy who seeks to oppose us.
Yes.
Those are all our riches in glory.
That's right. Yes.
See, our riches in glory are not the material things. Our riches in glory is everything in the spirit realm that we can bring to bear through our faith on the material realm and cause it to be enough. Hallelujah. And so when a person has a prosperous mentality from the Word, their face and their faith reflect the unchangeableness that's in the Word in the midst of their circumstances. Because they're looking beyond what they see. They see abundance. They see supply. Jesus looked beyond the five loaves and two fishes in his hands and looked to the Father. He turned his attention to the Father. He turned his attention to the supply. And he tapped into it. If your attention's on what's in your bank account, you're going to miss your supply. That bank account's not your source. God is your source. Hallelujah. And right in the middle of tests and trials, your faith stays intact, and your faith stays in God, and your face shows it.
Hallelujah.
You don't come to church all down and crying and pouting. Because your mind has gotten renewed to your supply.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the source. Amen. So, whenever a person has a prosperous mentality from the gospel, you know, through the word of God, they can tap into that supply even when it's not visible. Amen. And they know that if one avenue dries up, God's got other avenues. God is the source, but He'll bring things into you and my life through many avenues. Oh, I lost my job, but I used to pray for me. But God's got many of them. He's got a better job. He's got other ways to take care of you. Until you put your hand in something else. Amen. Even when you got your hand put to something, He'll still take care of you in many different ways. Hallelujah. And so when one avenue dries up, God's got other avenues. But when one avenue dries up, a prosperous mentality doesn't dry up with it.
Amen.
Because that's not our source. That was just an avenue. Amen. Like God is our source, but He's got many different avenues. So a person who stays in faith just starts looking for the next avenue. And you'll see that when you stay in faith. You get into unbelief, you won't see the next avenue. It can be standing right in front of you, and you're not seeing it. Amen. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be of health, even as your soul prospers." So prosperity begins and is experienced, first of all, on the inside of us. He said, "Even as your soul prospers." Even as means relative to the prosperity of your soul. And listen, the prosperity of your soul is not dependent on your surroundings or the economy or anything of that nature. It's dependent on how diligent you are with the Word of God to renew your mind. That's how your soul prospers. Your soul can prosper independent of any circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God works abundance into the heart of a man before He moves it into the hand of a man. He's got to get abundance on the inside of our hearts and our thinking. And that will attract it to your hand. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, whenever I was crying out for some answers, because I've been struggling for, I'm talking about years ago. He said, "My prosperity and supply doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins when my word finds a home in your heart."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Solomon had largeness of heart before he had large bank accounts.
That's right.
You remember the Bible talks about Solomon's wealth?
Yeah.
But before that, it talks about Solomon had largeness of heart. God gave him wisdom and largeness of heart. That means he's big on the inside. You know, restrained insides restrains our financial
flow.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But a carnal man will not see the value of the time spent developing a prosperous mentality in the Word. The dead will say, "You better go do something. You better," and you're studying and meditating on the Word to feed your spirit to develop that bigness on the inside. And the devil will try to speak to your carnal mind and say, "No, this is a waste of time." He sees that time as wasted. You don't understand what I'm talking about. But God has spent more time developing my prosperous mentality than He has showing me avenues. I'm talking about in my life. He spent more time working on my mentality, working it over, working it over. And sometimes I go to services and people preach things like that, I get so mad. Not at them, but mad at myself, yeah, for not getting out of this mentality quicker and doing it more diligently. Amen. God will let you and I have whatever we want.
Yeah.
He'll let us, he's going to let us have what we're okay with. When we're okay with thinking small, God will let us have what we're okay with. But if that's not okay anymore,
right?
Then God will move and meet you at your point of what you say is okay.
That's right.
I've moved away from what's okay, what used to be okay.
Yes,
you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
It's not okay anymore.
That's right.
It's not okay anymore. A lot of things I just made cash for that I used to borrow for. That's not okay with me.
Amen.
I said, that's not okay with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I'm growing and increasing on the inside.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Get to the place in your heart and mind that enough is not enough. Enough is not enough.
Amen.
In other words, the mentality that you have is when you just have enough to pay all your bills, that's not enough. That's not enough. Because he said he'd give us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. We're learning, we're getting into your mentality. God has spent more time developing that in my life than he has developing anything else. You remember Matthew chapter 7, I'll just give you the references 24 through 27. The Bible talks about whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man built his house on a rock. Remember?
Yes.
The winds descended, the rains descended, the flood came, the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. Do it because he's doing the work.
That's right.
Because he was built upon a rock.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Notice, he said, then the other one fell because it didn't do what it hurt.
Right.
When you and I hear and do the word, we're building our foundation for prosperity.
Amen.
And we're building our foundation to last through hard times.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of people don't see the value of what you're doing here tonight, sitting here hearing the word.
That's right.
I don't got time for that. I got things I want to do. I want to enjoy. I got work. I got things. I got this. But see, you see the value of the preparation of your heart. You see the value of getting the word inside of you and getting a new mentality. Carnal people don't see the value of that. They see that as wasting time.
Amen.
But this preparation of heart is the foundation for divine prosperity. It prepares a man to move with God in God's ways of doing things and puts his priorities first. And he gets things aligned with the way God moves. Because he's now aligned with the Word. Amen? And prosperity begins to get on the inside of him. And then it flows from the inside out. Amen? Not from the outside in. Sometimes people think, well, if I just had a lot of nice things around me, I could think differently. No. There's a lot of people that have nice things around them. They still think broke.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
This is why Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when they hear it, they get a new mentality.
Amen.
They start developing faith with that supply. They hear about that supply.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so the gospel deals with the insides of the man.
Yes.
If you can change the inside will dominate the outside and flow to the outer life. That's what Proverbs is talking about. He said, out of your heart come the issues of life.
Yes.
See, these things come out of something on the inside.
Yeah.
People that walk in abundance, they have something on the inside different than other people have.
That's
right. Stop trying to fix the outside things so that you can be happy.
Come on.
So that you can be full. Amen.
Amen.
Let the gospel, rather, work you over on the inside and affect the inside.
Amen.
Oh, I like it, I like it.
Hallelujah.
But carnal men don't see the value of that preparation of the heart, that preparation of mentality.
Yes.
They'll always have financial problems as a result because the problems come from the inside of them. And the forces that determine the direction of a man are coming out from within him. Proverbs 4, verse number 23 says this.
Amen.
Especially carnal people don't like to hear that because that's but because they don't want the responsibility on them. They want somebody to pray for me, Pastor.
Yeah.
Come on now. I don't want to have to do it. You just pray for me.
Amen.
But see, God, we have to cooperate with God.
That's right.
We don't have to work it. We just have to cooperate.
Yeah.
We don't have to make it happen. We just cooperate with God so that his power is not dammed up and held back the power to get well. Amen.
Amen.
We gotta allow him to prepare us for great things.
Amen.
It will be the preparation of the inward part of the man.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. This has changed my life.
Amen.
And you're taking it in. I'm so grateful. When people get mad at me to people preaching on prosperity, and they leave the word, said, I'm not gonna believe in that. They leave the church. They're disqualifying themselves on the inside of their own heart and mind. And they're saying, I'm not worthy and I can't have what they're preaching. They don't see themselves as one who's already rich.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Your riches is not dependent on your education.
Amen.
It's not dependent of your social status,
amen,
your upbringing, based on the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
The gospel levels the playing field.
Yeah.
The gospel levels the playing field.
That's right.
The gospel in every area levels the playing field. It levels it in this area of prosperity.
Amen.
In other words, no one person, no one culture, no one people group have an advantage over another. The gospel levels it all out.
Amen.
I said it levels it all out.
Amen.
Regardless of social status, regardless of education, regardless of any of those kinds of things, these limiters are totally annihilated by the gospel.
Yes.
Because that power, the power is in the gospel. Remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. The power unto salvation, the power unto healing, the power unto prosperity is all in the gospel.
Yes.
And it's all in faith in the gospel.
Yes.
And any man can believe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love the stories I'm hearing coming out of some other nations other than the United States, such as this nation, about men that are rising up and saying, I am rich.
I'm rich.
I'm rich.
I'm rich.
I'm rich. I love these stories because they prove that it's not about living in a country or living in some kind of abundant nation that has abundance. It's about living in the realities of the gospel. We got to get past people groups and outward differences and all those kinds of things and say, we are one with Him, this is who we are, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are wealthy, we are blessed, we are healed, we are redeemed. Praise God, we are new creations. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The limitlessness of the new man on the inside will enable you to surpass any of the limiters put on you on the outside by others.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
People say you're limited because of this and that. You know, you're born on the wrong. In the United States, we say you're born on the wrong side of the tracks. Because there's towns that have the rich side of town and then the other side of the tracks. You know, I'm talking about the train tracks. The other side of the tracks where the poor people live. And the poor people, they're born on the wrong side of the track, so they're limited by that. Only if they let it in their thinking. Only if they let it in their thinking. Amen. The new man is unlimited. The new creation is unlimited. And if he renews his mind to it, he can be unlimited. The limitedness oftentimes is between the ears. Amen. The new birth, the measure of faith, the word of God that develops the spirit of man to hear God and that gives him a prosperous mentality have leveled the playing field of all of God's children.
Amen.
The new birth, you hear me? The measure of faith. When we got born again, God dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. It says that in Romans. God has dealt to us the measure of faith. The new birth, the measure of faith, the word of God that develops the spirit of man to hear God and so forth and develops his faith, gives him a prosperous mentality that levels the playing field for all of God's children. God is an equal opportunity God. I said he's an equal opportunity God. Don't make excuses. Excuses are for people that don't want to do what they need to do. To renew their mind.
Amen?
It keeps them earthbound. It keeps them conscious of their natural man and living out of the natural history of that natural man rather than rising up and living out of the new man in Christ. Amen? The children of Israel came up to Kadesh Barnea. You ever read that story? And they said, we can't. Remember, they sent in the spies. Spies came back. 10 came back with a bad report, too. A good report. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and they believed the bad report at Kadesh Barnea. You remember that?
Yes.
And the reason was because they were still living with the mentality of their former experiences.
Yes.
They were living in a mentality of slavery, being
right.
Slaves. Because they had just come out of Egypt slavery.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
They lived under a dictator that was putting them in slavery for 400 years. And the will of a tyrant named Pharaoh was being imposed upon them against their will. And they could not make life happen for them on purpose because somebody always cut them back.
That's right.
Says, no, you can't do that. Amen? And so they learn to live with things being imposed on them against their will, and that got into their mentality. You know, after 400 years, that's quite a few generations, and that starts getting setting into a culture.
Yes.
That mentality starts setting into a culture. And that culture starts taking on that mentality as a whole. Amen? So they weren't used to making life happen for them on purpose. They came out of they were no longer subject to bondage. Their Pharaoh's bondage. They came out of all that. But then they came up to Kadesh Barnea. Sent in the spies, and the spies came back and said, well, they got walled cities and iron chariots and giants in there. They're more numerous than us. Their cities are walled and great. We can't touch it. Amen. And although they came out of Egypt, they still had Egypt sleeping in them. They came out of having things imposed on them against their will, but they never got that out of their thinking. They weren't living in that. Pharaoh was dead in the Red Sea. And his whole army had drowned in the Red Sea. Those former tyrants that held them in bondage were not coming back anymore.
That's right. Amen.
They're gone. They're dead.
That's right.
Amen. Well, the same is true for believers today.
Yes.
We used to live under a tyrant named the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. Before we were born again into this rich family, we used to live under Satan's control. He was a thief.
Right.
He was a tyrant.
Right.
Amen. He imposed his will against us, his will upon us against our will.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And even though a man is born again, too often he still listens to religious teachings such as the sovereign God doctrine that keep him in bondage. And they don't know about their authority to exercise dominion over that former tyrant.
That's right.
They don't renew their mind. They never sit under this kind of teaching that renews their mind.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And with the word of God, builds their faith. And so, Satan's able to hold them in that same bondage they used to be bound with.
Yes.
Not because he has the authority to do it. Because he's been defeated. Jesus defeated him.
That's right.
But because people still think wrong and still think that they can't make life happen on purpose.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're redeemed.
Hallelujah.
No, you can't escape poverty. You can't go out. I got you. I hold you in bondage. That tyrant has been destroyed.
Yes.
Jesus defeated Satan.
Yes.
He's been put under our feet. And he can't hold us in poverty. And we are rich already. We have to renew our mind today. Amen. Well, glory to God. Before we go, let's look at some indications of a poverty mentality. I'll look at myself. You look at yourself. Indications of a poverty mentality. Well, number one indication that a person has a poverty mentality is they see prosperity as hard. Everything's hard. Hard to get it in. It's hard to pay things off. Hard to this. Hard to that. Everything's hard. And where that mentality is developed is by experiences, past experiences in this natural world without the power of God to prosper.
That's right.
That is a mouthful.
Yes. Yes.
Many people's mentality is built and developed by experiences in this world without the power backing them up. Without God's power back in them. And that makes it hard.
Yeah.
And there's no anointing. You're just doing it by efforts of the flesh. That's hard. It's hard to get ahead in your mouth without help from God. Because you're laboring against a curse. Are you out there? And the dominion of darkness that you're under is greater than your natural efforts.
That's right.
We're talking about whenever you're living in spiritual darkness, whenever you're living in sin and out there under the curse. Before, not us, we got born again. I'm talking about in that Satan's kingdom, where Satan was our master, our tyrant.
That's right.
You understand what I'm talking about? And so he was he had the right to hold us in bondage because we were his. And so he did. And we labored against that, but it just, our labor wasn't enough.
Right.
So that hard mentality is developed by experiences in the natural world, laboring without the power of God to prosper. And that's why people think it's hard. Satan's hindrance has convinced many that prosperity is difficult. But when you understand redemption, and you understand how to take authority over him, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. You know what's easy? Let me tell you what's easy. I'll describe it this way. Bob said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You say, what does that mean, more than conquerors? Well, we're not conquerors, we're more than that. Who is the conqueror?
Jesus.
Who defeated the devil for us?
Jesus.
We didn't have to struggle against the devil and defeat him. Jesus already defeated him for us. We're not conquerors, we're more than conquerors. In other words, he did the hard part. People say it's hard. No, he did the hard part. He did the hard part. We've got to learn to think this way. You know it's not hard. We're already free.
That's right.
But here's what it means to be more than a conqueror. Being more than a conqueror is like, it's like a man who goes out and he works a job and he earns a paycheck and he brings that paycheck home. And he earned that money by labor. So he conquered that money.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
So he gets that paycheck and he's a conqueror.
Yes.
But when he comes home and he hands it to his wife and said, here, honey. Now she's more than but it needs to get past Satan's hindrance.
That's right.
Amen. All you got to do is put fuel in and just light the fire.
Light it up.
Let the fire blow you past Satan's hindrance. Well, I can take some time on that. Let's go to number two. You want to find out another poverty mentality?
Yes.
Another indication of a poverty mentality is last minute.
Woo! Come on! Save it! Save it!
How many of you have ever heard that God is a last minute God?
Yeah. On time, God.
He's a last minute. I mean, he might not come through ahead of time, but he'll always come through on time. Is that the line? Is that the line of the word? What about the scriptures that talk about that He prepared our supply? From the foundation of
God. Yeah. Amen.
What are we going to do with that? Does that make God a last minute God?
No.
He prepared our supply from the foundation of the world. I challenge you to get a Bible concordance and go through the New Testament and just Google or pull up the references in your Bible search program. Foundation of the world. I challenge you. You'll find that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
You'll find that Jesus rested on the seventh day
and
finished all the work, not only of creation, but of all redemption from the foundation. And He planned from the foundation of the world that we should live the good life. That was all prepared from the foundation of the world. That means way ahead of whatever we are not even getting
here. That's right. Amen. Amen.
So people that call God a last minute God, their minds are not renewed.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
To the
Amen.
Supply that was laid up from the foundation of the world. If you want to really look at it, look at it in the Amplified Bible of Hebrews chapter number 4. It busts it down and makes it so plain that everything we need from even before we were born to all eternity was finished. The work to secure it was finished. That was laid up as a supply out of the foundation. But we don't think that. We think that God's the last minute God. Amen. I'll tell you why things show up. You want to know why things show up at the last minute so often? Anybody want to know? Okay, well, I'm going to go this.
God, come on.
It's not that God supplies at the last minute. It's that people get serious about their faith last minute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they tap into it and lay hold of it.
Yep. Amen.
They're just
exactly right.
Thinking, well, I hope that goes away.
Right.
And then go away. And then go away. And then go away. And so they last minute, they're like, ah! and they get real serious about their faith.
Yep.
So, pow, there it shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Well, that's number two.
Right? Number three. Yes, sir.
Indications of an unrenewed mind or a poverty mentality. Common poverty mentality. Number three, a poverty mentality values different things than a prosperous mentality. People of the world highly value, I've noticed this quite a bit, and I'm not preaching against education, but I noticed they highly value education. You know what I mean? Regarding prosperity. And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. You want to know why they highly value education? I'm not preaching against education,
amen,
because I believe it's good to get an education.
Amen.
But they put a much higher value on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Amen.
The reason they value education is because, you ready?
Yes.
Now drop it
on.
That's all they got.
That's all they got.
That's exactly right.
That's all they got.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
That's all they got.
Yes, sir.
That's all they got.
That's all they got.
We've got the supply of heaven.
Hallelujah.
We've got the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
We've got the power to get well.
That's
yes.
right. That's
we've
right.
got the blessing.
Yes, sir.
We've got the favor of God.
Yes. Yeah.
We've got faith.
That's right.
We've got the inner witness.
Yes, sir.
That guides us into our inheritance.
Yes, sir.
We've got the authority of the believer.
Yes, sir.
We've got the ministry of angels.
Yes, sir.
He's not. He doesn't love them. He's not trying to help them.
Nope.
Even if he does, he steals their soul.
Yes.
Amen. He's always taking. Our God, for God so loved that He gave.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so, people that have a poverty mentality, they value different things than we do.
Yeah.
Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
What God has given us in the spirit realm is much greater than man can learn in this natural realm. Amen. So therefore, it'll take us beyond what a man who only has an education can have.
Yeah.
Now, fine, God needs you to get an education, you need to follow that.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
You understand I'm not preaching against that.
Amen.
But see, that was the Father leading you.
Yeah.
Because He's got something for you.
Got something for you.
Hallelujah. But a man with two men with an education, one only has an education, and the other one has all these other things that I mentioned.
Yep.
A leading of the Spirit, the faith of God, remember
yes,
all
sir.
That? Angels.
Yes,
power that wealth, all those things.
Yes, sir.
That man that has all those other things from God, he'll go way beyond. Way beyond.
Man
through all the things he has.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As people of faith, we prosper through the spirit realm.
Yes, sir.
We tap into the resources in the spirit realm, and those are the things that God has laid up and prepared for us through the plan of redemption. You always, when you read Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need. This last statement, this last part of this verse is where people miss it. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That is not nine.
Come on.
Come on.
Or U.S. dollars.
Come on.
His riches in glory
yeah.
are not material things.
Come on, Pastor.
They are all those things I just mentioned.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
The measure of faith.
Yep.
The angels.
Yes, sir.
The power to get wealth, the blessing, the favor of God.
Yes,
the
sir.
The witness, the authority of the believer.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
That's what He gave you to prosper.
Yes. Amen.
So we make use of the resources of the spirit realm and bring them to bear on the natural realm,
yes.
and that takes us way beyond a man with an education.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We prosper through the spirit realm.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The prosperous mentality is supply-minded, and it's aware of what we can tap into.
Yes.
Jesus had something in the natural that wasn't enough, and He looked at enough to the next level. He looked to the spot. The power of God came on what He had, and multiplied it to feed
everybody.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The prosperous mentality looks beyond what it sees, and it values what it cannot see. It highly values it. It said, let the world have the education. I mean, if that's all they got, I'll take all this. If it's an either or thing, which it's not, if it's an either or thing, this is what I choose this. I choose these riches in glory. Hallelujah. Well, you see the prosperous mentality, supply-minded.
The poverty mentality is money mind. Those who are money mind make decisions based on financial advantage. Jesus told Brother Hagin in that vision, those that get money minded lose the anointing. Remember that? The true message of prosperity does not make a man money minded. It makes him supply
minded. Yes.
You understand the difference then?
Yes.
Does that describe Philippians 4:19?
Yes.
If we meet our needs according to his riches in glory.
Yes.
The true message of prosperity makes a man supply minded, not money minded.
Hey!
When Jesus didn't have enough feeding the 5,000,
right?
He looked away from money to
support.
And brought the resources of the realm of the Spirit to bear on what he had in the natural world, and it made it enough.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Not pursuing the money, but pursuing the knowledge of that.
Amen.
Love the process of renewing your mind to what you can't see.
Yes.
Renewing your mind to the favor of
God. Yes.
That comes into the situations that you're in and invades people's airspace in step.
Yes. Amen.
And makes them want to do something for you and they don't want to do it for anybody.
Yes. That's right.
And they say, I don't know why I'm doing it.
Yep, amen.
And I'm just going to help you out this
week.
I'm so used to hearing that. If I don't hear it in business transactions, I start wondering, what would happen?
Come on, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It's going to happen some other way.
Amen.
I'm just so used to it. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
People hear that. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
That's the favor of God.
Yes.
The favor of God. F-O-G,
fog,
I call it
fog. The fog
rolled in.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
And invaded people's airspace and self, and they start saying, I don't know why I want to do this.
Yep.
I hear that all the time.
Amen.
A lot of times what you need is not money, it's favor.
Favor. Yes, that's right.
And when God's favor comes on you and moves on your behalf,
it
gets you things no money in the world can buy.
Yes, amen. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. So, love the process of renewing the mind of what you can't see. Renew your mind with faith. Renew your mind with these riches in glory. Develop your faith to tap into it. Amen. The prosperous mentality doesn't value money near as much as it values what God. An illustration I have along this line, the Lord gave me along this line. Years ago, I heard, anybody know who Bill Gates is? He started Microsoft with, I guess, another man or so. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world today, by his standard, right? Number three. And so he was at a university talking to some business students. And they had a question and answer time at the end. And a student stood up and said to him, sir, I'd like to ask you a question if I could. He said, if everything you have today was taken away from you, except one thing, that you could keep one thing, what would you want to keep? He said, I'm not talking about your family. I know your family is valuable to you. I'm not talking about your family.
Yeah.
Just excluding that. But if you wanted, if everything, talk about your business and how you did it today. If everything was taken away from you today, all the money, all the wealth, everything was taken away from you today, but you could only keep one thing. He said, the question was, what would that one thing be? Bill Gates didn't stutter, he didn't stammer. I watched it on video. He said, just speak like that. He said, oh, that's easy, just the knowledge of how we did it.
Amen.
What does that say? He valued knowledge more than he valued money.
Yes. That's right.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Knowledge more than he valued money. That's the mentality that the Word should give you when in your approach to divine prosperity.
Yeah.
You value knowledge of what lies just beyond the seen realm. You tap in.
Hallelujah.
Knowledge of how to tap in.
Yes, sir.
That man will never be broken another day.
Never. Nope.
I said, that man never be broken today.
That's right. Amen.
That's what church services are.
Yep, yep, come on.
Church services are God bringing us His knowledge and renewing our mind, building our faith, and developing our spirits.
Yes. Hallelujah.
See, we don't come to church just to dance. We don't come to church to find out what is just beyond my eyes.
Yes. Yes.
What, see, right here is the book that came out of that realm and tells us all about what's in that realm.
Yes. Yes.
Tells us all about God, tells us all about Jesus, tells us all about the Holy Ghost,
that's
tells us
right.
about the angels,
Amen.
Tells us all about what's in that realm.
Amen.
All about the gifts of the Spirit, all about the faith of God, everything.
Hallelujah.
The love of God, everything is in that realm.
Yes.
Tells us all about it.
All about it.
We come to church to find out these riches.
Hallelujah.
These riches.
Come on.
Let's learn about these riches.
That's right.
Well, that's number three. Number four, poverty mentality immediately thinks about how much something costs when God says He wants us to do something.
Yeah, okay.
The first thought of a poverty mentality is, how much does it cost? Mm-hmm. Amen. And people mind bellyache about the cost of things. But when God calls and direction comes to you to do something, it's not about the cost, it's about what He said do. I said, it's about what He said do.
That's right.
Every problem, or a person's problem, I should say, is that they see themselves as the owner of things rather than the steward of things.
Ooh, that's good.
Everything that you have comes from God.
That's good. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes,
and
sir.
You simply are managing it and stewarding it for Him that
that's
He's
right.
given you.
That's right.
It's your job simply to do what He said do.
That's right. That's right.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm simply saying, if He said do this, then it's not your job to pay for it. Mm-hmm. It's your job just to obey and now look to Him and say, okay, your bill came in.
Yep, amen.
I'm not worried about that.
That's right. Yeah. That's His. That's right.
You just told me to do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, glory.
Glory.
Remember whenever in John 6, whenever Jesus fed the multitude, Philip said, because Jesus said, I was giving something to eat. Philip said, well, 200 penny worth isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, ask about how much money they had.
No, sir. No, sir. That's right.
He just told them, do this.
That's
give
right.
them something to eat.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
But that poverty mentality immediately thinks about the money. And poverty mentality is money money. Faith in the prosperity mentality is get the job done.
Yes.
That's what God said. Let's finish the work. Let's bear the burden
right.
He wants us to bear. Amen. Number five, poverty mentality makes excuses for what it can't do. People that are good at making excuses are good at nothing else.
Come
on. The poverty mentality makes excuses that we can't do it. Faith in the prosperity mentality proclaims what we will do and can do. Amen.
Amen.
Now. Number six, the spirit of poverty turns from God's plan in order to get money. Money is making its decisions. Money is first.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit of faith will turn from money to fulfill God's plan.
Yes.
Come on, sir. Amen. If necessary, it'll just turn right away from money. You say, okay, God said, do this, I'll do this. Because it knows, the spirit of faith and the process mentality knows that God says do this, He's got a supply for me to do it.
He's got a supply for me to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Prosperity for the believer comes through a proper relationship with the Word.
Yes. Yes.
Many are in an improper relationship with money because they're not in a proper relationship with the Word.
Yes.
An improper relationship with money means they do whatever money says.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're to be holy, we're to walk different than the world.
That's right. Amen.
We are to walk, we are to think, we are to spend, we are to buy, we are to give differently than the world.
Amen.
Amen. People that won't tithe, they're in a wrong relationship with money.
That's right. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Number seven. You can handle it. Anybody still handle it?
Yes.
I know you can't capture all this in one sitting, but that's why we're recording these things, so you can get this and meditate on it and let God work it into your life.
Amen.
The poverty mentality, you think you're entitled to what other people have. You know, what's theirs? We that's starting to set in the United States. Tax the rich and give it to the poor. What did the poor do to get it?
Come on now.
We're going to get off of that one.
Come on.
Another mentality of poverty. People judge how others spend their money. Okay. Well, they shouldn't spend their money on that. Well, you're just indicating that you shouldn't spend their money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How many of you know their money, their business?
Yes.
Money, not our business.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. Amen. We're going to go past that one, too. Number nine, a poverty mentality buys something just because it's on sale, even though it doesn't fit. Since the microphone was off, I'll say it again. A poverty mentality buys something that's on sale, even though it doesn't fit. So you walk around, the sleeves are too short.
Yes.
You can't bust the top because it's
too short. Yes. Oh, good Lord.
Number 10, we're almost done.
Keep it coming.
Oh, your toes are hurting.
No, sir.
Number 10, a poverty mentality is dirty, sloppy, unkempt, and disorganized.
That's it.
Yep.
I have seen this in people's lives all around the world, starting in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
People that are broke, you know what I mean by broke? They're always dirty, sloppy, unkempt, and disorganized.
Yes.
In other words, that's a symptom of a poverty mentality.
Yes.
A prosperity mentality will take real good care of everything you do.
Yes.
Because if I'm a good steward of what I have, then I can handle more.
Right.
If I can't even handle this. You know, if you can't even pay the bills on the level you are at, in other words, what I mean by pay the bills is stay organized enough to prepare ahead of time to keep the bills paid.
Amen.
Some people just don't pay the bills because they're so unorganized. It's a poverty mentality. Well, number 11, poverty mentality makes excuses, has pity parties, lives with a victim mentality. If you and I are making excuses, it shows we're not built right yet on the inside. Amen. For prosperity.
Yes.
Number 12, poverty mentality is allergic to work. diligence, perseverance, faithfulness, and here's one, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The man who makes excuses only shows that he's not ready for these things. People that gravitate towards, I don't know if you have these multi-level schemes over here.
Yes.
Some fashions of different kinds of things like that. You know, you don't have to do anything. You just get into this scheme.
Yeah,
things like that.
Yeah.
Poverty mentality gravitates towards those kinds.
That's it.
Yeah. Amen.
It doesn't want to be responsible for anything.
Yeah.
It just wants everything handed to it and it doesn't do it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, a lot of times you start out believing God for more prosperity, He'll start pleading with you to take on more responsibility.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the way that the economies of our entire world system here works is they pay people more that have more responsibility.
More responsibility. Yes, sir.
That's the way things work.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And if you don't develop a capacity to manage more responsibility, you'll never stand in a place with more prosperity.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the CEO of the company makes more than the man down at the bottom sweeping the floor.
That's right.
Amen.
Because sweeping the floor is not much responsibility.
Amen.
CEO, he's got a whole lot of responsibility.
Yes, sir. Right.
He's got to manage everything.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a lot of responsibility. So they pay him
according
to his responsibility.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. So if a man's not willing to take on more responsibility, he's limited how much he's got a ceiling on him, how far he can go.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Which leads me to my last point. Are you ready for the last point? We've gone long here tonight. Let's see. I gotta go, so I can't give you any more. I've got to leave tonight. Number 13. When it comes to a poverty mentality, It has a tail mentality and not a head mentality. Remember the Deuteronomy, it says in Deuteronomy 8:18, see that gives thee power to get wealth.
Yeah.
Power to get wealth. Well, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about I make you the head and not the tail.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What does that mean? Being the head means running things.
That's right. Amen.
Directing faith.
Yes.
Owning faith.
Yes, sir.
Owning businesses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever. It means owning faith.
That's
it,
right.
It means being the top man, not the bottom man.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You remember whenever God gave Adam and Eve, he made them put them in the garden. He said, this is in Genesis 1:28. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth.
That's right.
It says he blessed them. It
yes.
says be fruitful,
yes.
multiply, and replenish the earth.
Yes.
The blessing is on you to multiply.
Yes. Yes.
That's what the blessing does. It makes you fruitful to multiply what
yes.
you put your hand to.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 8:18, he that gives thee power to get wealth. If you look up the word get, it means produce.
Yes.
Produce wealth.
Yes.
You're blessed to be a producer.
That's yes. right. Amen.
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 The poverty mentality thinks I'm blessed to have something to consume. Listen to me very carefully. It has a consumer mentality, but a prosperity mentality has a produce mentality.
Yes. Yes.
It knows that if I can produce what I'm called to produce, I'll have what I'm called to have.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what am I talking about when I say produce? Whenever a man goes into business, he's producing a product or a service or something that somebody else needs.
That's right.
And people come by and pay him for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yes.
The reason he keeps prospering is because he's providing, he's producing something
yeah.
that everybody needs and
yeah.
they have to come pay him for
it. That's right. That's right.
People with a poverty mentality are not, they don't think about producing something that's valuable for everybody to pay them for. They think about just having enough money to buy things to consume.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Amen. Amen. They only consume, they never produce something
yeah.
to bless somebody else.
Yeah.
And this is why there's a saying in the world that the rich get richer and the poor keep staying poor.
Come on. Come on.
The rich have learned how to prosper. They produce something everybody else pays them for.
Yes.
And
yes.
needs.
Amen.
And what they're producing blesses them.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's right.
That's right.
Bill Gates is taking money out of every one of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He did it legally.
Yeah.
He did it because he produced something every one of us needed.
Yes,
right.
sir. Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Why don't the church wake up to that?
Come on.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Start producing something everybody else needs.
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, it's really to pay for it.
Yes.
Hey, I need that. I need that. I need that. I mean, that'll help me in my business. I'll buy it.
Amen.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
See, they think producer rather than consumer.
Yes.
And whenever they produce what they've learned how to produce, people give them money to consume.
That's right.
And a lot of them learn to turn that back into some other product to produce and multiply
yes.
again.
Yes.
So they were multiplied, now they're multiplying what was multiplied.
That's
and
right.
they multiply what was multiplied and multiply that again.
That's right.
And they keep getting wealthier. People that are poor say, that's not fair. We need to take that from the rich and give it to the poor. No, you need to learn how they did it.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We got to get rid of this mentality.
Yes.
I said, we got to get rid of this mentality.
Amen.
The church has too much of a consuming mentality.
Amen.
Yes. God will bless me so I can consume. He said in Genesis, I'm going to bless you to be fruitful and multiply. That thing just needs to have babies.
Amen.
We're good at that. We learned that. We do that. But that's more, the blessing's about more than just having babies.
That's right.
It's about being fruitful and multiplying everything we touch, everything
right.
we put our hand to.
That's right.
Somebody else needs it, they'll pay us for it, and we start increasing.
Right.
That's the prosperous mentality.
Yes.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yes. Yes.
The world and people who have the most money, every one of them produces it. They produced it.
Yeah.
They didn't rob it.
Right.
Amen. They produced it.
Amen.
They did a study in the United States. I don't remember the percentage, so I don't want to mislead you, but I know it was way up there, 80-some percent.
Yeah.
Of the millionaires in the United States. 80-some percent of it, of them, produced it.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
In other words, they did something to cause that wealth to grow.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, well, we learned.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because we have the blessing, He'll bless what we put our hand to. Now, let's put our hand to something that's producing.
Yes. Amen.
That everybody else wants, everybody else needs.
That's right.
And He'll say, here, I need that. Here's $10 million. I'll pay you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yes. I need one too. Okay, thank you, man. Yes. Oh, I need, okay, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. But see, before, they said, we need to take the risk and so that we can have what they have.
Mm.
But you know what they're going to do whenever they get it?
Consume.
They're going to consume it.
Yes.
And then they won't have it.
Yes.
And then they need more.
That's right.
And you see why the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer.
Yes. Yes.
And you see it.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Revelation for some of them. That's answers for some of them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 You say, what about the preacher? He's producing something for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's producing the knowledge. He's bringing
right.
you the knowledge
yes.
of the spirit realm.
Yes.
He's bringing you the knowledge of prosperity, the knowledge of God's word,
yes.
the knowledge of the covenant, the knowledge of the blessing,
hallelujah.
The knowledge of our heritage, the knowledge, the knowledge, the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah.
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 We're on your team working for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Give God some praise in here right now. So we've got to get these audios and listen to them again. And when something is said that just goes off on the outside, stop the CD and say, oh, Jesus. Oh, how can I work that into my life? And let it just let it grow on the inside until it compels you to action.
Hallelujah.
That's when life starts changing. That's when faith starts working rather than just having faith. Now it's working. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I bless these dear, precious people. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the revelation of what we're talking about tonight, what your word is saying to us. Because this time, this end time harvest needs us to get a hold of this. Father God, it's time for fullness of all things. It's time for the fullness of our supply, for us to walk in the fullness of that, tap into the fullness of it. Father God, I thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding and the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that there would be a paradigm shift in the mentality of ministry in this nation, to come to the place that they understand further people's real answers. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we agree with these ministers tonight for boldness and utterance to bring this knowledge to their people. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fire that's been lit on the inside of them tonight. I thank you that fire will continue to burn as they feed on these things. Continue to burn, and it'll come out in their preaching, it'll come out in their teaching, and it'll get into the hearts and minds of the people, renew their minds, and build their faith, and change this nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We say the church in this nation is victorious, rises up, and takes her rightful place in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the great joy and great privilege we had of bringing our supply to it. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Service. And so I'm with you. I believe in you. I want to be a supply to your life. Take advantage of the ways we're making this supply, our supply available to you. And next time we get to see you, we're going to be on a higher level of glory. You're going to be on a higher level of glory. I'm going to be on a higher level of glory. We're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, and strength to strength. Everything God has. Praise the Lord. Love you.
Love you.
We'll see you again next time.